My very special guest is Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. This is a special emergency broadcast. I'm not sure how much of an emergency is, but I'm sure the truth will emerge, hence emergency. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Hello. It's very, very important, at least for the people in the United States. I have a friend who works in foreclosures, and she works for a law firm. And she's been working, trying to keep people in their homes for a couple of years and going to protests and being part of the foreclosures debacle up in Washington State. And she and I were speaking last night. She sent me an email about a proposal for a bill that is has been approved by the House Financial Services Committee. Now, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, but I'll repeat for people who don't. There is a proposal made, a committee either in the Senate or the House approves it, and then it works its way through the House or the Senate to become a bill, then it becomes a law, then the president can veto it if he wants to. So this is not a bill just yet. But this is a monster that was created by the technocrats, by the banking elite. And it reminded me of the monster on Jekyll Island. Was the name of the book that
The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin.
Yes. These people got together. They got together with the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, which is Jeb Hensarling, and took him on a ski trip. But we'll get into all of that. But the reason why I want to bring this up is because I'm posting this article tomorrow. So I don't know when you're getting this video out. But I wanted as many people to know, because when I was speaking to my friend on the phone last night, our phone cut off 4 times.
Whoa.
As soon as we started talking about what this means for people in the foreclosures market, the phone call dropped. I called her back. It went straight to voicemail. She tried calling me back. As soon as we started talking about the implications of this proposed bill, and I started asking some serious questions of what her opinion was, because she's been working in this for 2 years, how she thinks that this would affect people who are in litigation for foreclosures. The call would drop again. We couldn't get connected to each other. She would sound garbled on the phone. I couldn't hear her response, and the same thing for me. After 4 attempts, I just texted her and said, we'll talk about this later. And she said, well, do you think that they were listening? And I said, well, yeah, of course they were listening. They don't want us to talk about this. So I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning, bouncing ideas off my husband, and we were going on and on. And so I finally got the answer that I wanted. And that's why I wrote this article. So when the article comes out, it'll be on OccupyCorporatism.com. The title of it is New House Bill Wipes Mortgage Fraud Clean for Banksters. And the article goes through a storyline for people to understand how this came about. Because the proposed bill is entitled Protecting American Taxpayers and Homeowners Act, which is the acronym PATH. And it's being touted to the American public as a way to create a sustainable housing finance system. Because with the MERS system, everything has been completely screwed up. And MERS is the way that they've been able to robo-sign all of these foreclosures, all of these deeds, and get these foreclosures through.
Why are they called deeds? I thought they were just misdeeds.
Well, they set up this system. Now, MERS is a computer program that was incorporated. I didn't know that you can incorporate a computer program, but apparently you can. And the system was set up for the banksters so that they could get a hold of the property if the homeowner, for any reason, missed a payment, and they could go ahead and claim default and get that property back. Because the end game is Agenda 21.
Yeah. And
right. So they want massive amounts of area that will be allocated for non-human use. They don't want your house. They don't care about your house. That's why millions of homes are sitting there rotting. They have problems in neighborhoods where rats are infesting these homes. And they're going into massive deterioration because they don't care about the – they want the property because the property will then be allocated to areas where non-human use will be instilled and we will be living in megacities far away from these areas.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if it's not rats infesting your house, it's real estate agents who are essentially rats.
Absolutely. So Jeb Herseling, I'm sorry, got together and with the committee passed this proposal to make it a bill so it will go out on the House floor. And buried inside the PATH bill is the creation of the National Mortgage Data Repository, which is the brainchild of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, the FHFA, and Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And the National Mortgage Data Repository would be the first comprehensive repository for detailed mortgage loan information, which is the same thing that MERS is. Except what they're doing is they're legitimizing MERS. Because what happened was when the banksters created MERS, they were able to do what they needed to do. But when people started to fight back and take them to court, they did not have the actual documentation to prove that they could foreclose on the home because this was all done electronically. So they couldn't prove their case. And some people have gotten their houses back and the banks have had to go away. And this doesn't make them very happy.
Would that be technically classed as an act of mercy?
Yeah. Yeah, there have been major sit-ins to get the police off their property. But when they get to court and the banks don't have the documentation to show that they own the property and they have the right to foreclose, some of these get dismissed and the homeowner wins. And so they're able to keep their home and the banks have to walk away.
So the banks should hire Alex Jones, because if anybody's got the documents, he does.
Yeah, right? He got them from public intelligence.
Yeah.
That's where we all get them. So they set up this system, and it's not working out for them in court. So what the National Mortgage Data Repository does is it legitimizes MERS. It makes it so that MERS is a legitimate form of organizing this information and disseminating the information for both parties, the trustees, the banks, and the homeowners, which means that they don't have to prove that they own the property. And it takes away the homeowner's legal standing when they get to court.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any legal standing. So now they can't sue for their house back or to keep their house because they have no legal standing. They can't bring a complaint to a court. Now, how this got started, and by the way, MERS, when I looked up MERS, on the board of directors are people from Freddie Mac, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Fannie Mae, and Bank of America. Financial investors of MERS are Bank of America, Citigroup, HSBC, SunTrust, Wells Fargo, Freddie Mae, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So these people have money invested into this corporation, and they're on the board of directors. They have a conflict of interest. It's in their best interest for that home to be foreclosed on, because they make money on both sides. And MERS is designed to make sure that the homes are eventually foreclosed on because they have to make money back for their investors.
Mm.
So Herseling went to on a ski trip with a bunch of powerful financial elite and people who were making campaign contributions to his super PAC called Jobs, Economy, and Budget. Jeb, and it's the Jeb Fund, and these people were representatives.
The Jeb Fund, like started up by Jeb Bush or something?
No. His name is Jeb too. But the people who showed up were representatives from the American Securitization Forum, which is a conflict of interest because all of these mortgages were securitized. A lobbyist from the Mortgage Bankers Association, conflict of interest. Visa, and various members of the retail industry and finance corporations, and I couldn't get all of their names, but this applies. When I finish with this, you'll see how this applies not only to mortgages and keeping people out of their homes and acquiring their property, but it applies to almost everything that has to do with finances. So people who have contributed to the Jeb Foundation for this this House representative who heads the House Finance Services Committee is Capital One, Credit Suisse, PricewaterhouseCoopers, MasterCard.
Do they call it Credit Suisse because it's full of holes?
Yeah, right?
I'm on fire today, like, honestly. Where do I come up with this?
I've asked you the same question. I think of this stuff like an hour after the conversation's over. I can't call them up and say, oh yeah, remember we were saying that? This, click. UBS, U.S. Bank, the National Association for Federal Credit Unions. I've been saying for a very long time, people tell me, oh, but I have a credit union. My money's safe. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah. No more than the State of the Union has any credit.
Absolutely. Well, they're getting downgraded all the time. The Coke Industries, and I'll get into that.
Former President Bill Clinton involved with a lot of Coke industry?
Yes, he was. He was running Coke during the Iran-Contra affair in through his nice state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
But the Coke Industries is heavily into petrol and shale and natural gas. So this will become apparent why they're involved in this. Cash America International and CheckSmart Financial, which are two corporations in the United States that own a lot of these check cashing services, payday advance. You need to pay your bills now. Go ahead and sign your check over. And then they hold it until it's ready to be cashed. And a lot of people are getting screwed because they can't afford to even do that. The Regions Financial and JP Morgan Chase. Okay, so these are people who have contributed to the Jeb Fund, and they were there at the time of the ski trip, along with retailers. So all of these people got together while they're skiing and having a good time and came up with this scheme to set up this bill, which is PATH, which does not have a bill number yet because it hasn't gone through yet. It's been approved by the House Finances Service Committee, but it is not a bill just yet. Right now, it's still a proposal. But yeah. What is so terrifying about this is it gives the technocrats the ability to set up a system where they can make up for the debacle that they made with MERS. Because now the MERS system, the way in which MERS is run with the robo signing and without devoid of paperwork, they don't have to. It legitimizes it and it wipes the slate clean. It's like when you go and file for bankruptcy and your past 7 years are wiped clean. And then you can start over fresh. Now the banks can start over fresh. Meanwhile, all these people are in litigation at the moment, and people will be filing complaints in the future, and they would have no legal standing because most of their arguments are based on MERS being an illegitimate form of organizing this information. And because they can't prove that they hold the deed and the title to the house, now it becomes inconsequential. They don't have to prove it at all. So all of these litigation that are in court right now will have to be thrown out because the homeowner has no legal standing, and no one will be able to file a complaint from that moment forward if it became a law, and because the homeowners would have no legal standing to file the complaint. But here's the scariest part. And this is why my phone kept getting cut off with my friend, because she's been working in this for 2 years. She's worked with attorneys, and I figured she would be the best person to ask this question. I said, well, will they be able to come after their homes after they've already won them in court? And as soon as I said that, the phone would hang up, or I couldn't hear her answer because it was all garbled. We tried to call each other back and we'd get the voicemail. So I started looking into, because I have a paralegal degree, and in the criminal court system...
Does a paralegal degree mean that you're legally paralyzed?
Yes, well, it kind of does, because the paralegal knows everything and does all the work for the attorney, but they can't do what the attorney does, which is show up in court, because they don't have a license to practice law.
Yeah. So the paralegal does all the work, and the lawyer just turns up, you know, and takes all the credit.
And yeah, he gets the $150, $300 an hour to show up in court.
And you get like $10, $14 an hour, you know.
Exactly. Well, it varies. Sometimes it's like $65 to $80 an hour, which is not bad. Really not bad. But I don't like the legal system because it's full of crap. But I was talking with my husband after trying to talk with my friend. There is a double jeopardy in the criminal aspect, where you can't be tried for the same thing twice, especially with murder. If you've been acquitted of murder, you can't be tried for murder twice. But they can the double jeopardy clause is terminated in light of new evidence. And this, where this applies, and the reason why I'm using murder is because in the last few years, we've been able to get DNA information from samples, and especially in rape cases. A lot of people who were convicted of rape in the 80s were acquitted and set free from jail because when they did DNA sampling, they found out that the guy didn't rape. Or in murder, they find out that the DNA samples show that the murder was not committed by the person who was put to jail for it. So they get released. And meanwhile, they spent 20, 30 years in prison, but, you know.
And then when they get out, they can go and rape the woman again and they can't do jack.
Exactly. If anybody saw the film with Morgan Freeman and what was her name? Ashley Judd.
Yeah.
Double Jeopardy. That's exactly how it works. So she was tried and convicted of killing her husband. And when she got out and she realized he wasn't dead, she realized she could kill him because she can't go to jail again. She already served her time. There is a civil complement to the criminal version of double jeopardy, and it is the Jeopardy Clause. Well, if this proposal that is becoming a bill as we speak becomes law, then what the banks could do is they could say to someone who won their house back, we're taking you to court based on new evidence being this law, that MERS is not an argument, and we're coming for your house. And they could win. So they'll take the house anyway. People who are sitting thinking, you know, wiping their brow from and thinking, oh, gee, we know we fought them and we won and this is great. They're going to get a subpoena. They're going to get a knock on the door and be served with papers going back to court over their house again. Because the clause does not apply if they were they are not safe from the Jeopardy Clause in civil court if they got an acquittal, if they got a dismissal. If they won on appeal, and I cannot remember the fourth one, it'll be linked up in the article. And the Jeopardy Clause is linked up in it as well, so people can understand. And it means that ex post de facto clause would allow the banks to circumvent the court system so that they can get this the complaint put into the court system so that they can come back after your house. And the ex post facto clause is linked up in the article as well. And like I said, it's going up tomorrow morning. And the reason why I wanted to do this with you today is because when I got the reaction over the phone, this only happened to me one time before. I was writing an article about a banking virus because this was like in April or May of last year. And I realized that they could not just turn off like what they did in Cyprus. They couldn't do that in America because one out of three homeowners is a registered gun owner. And people would not do what they did in Cyprus, stand in lines and wait and protest. We would be shooting the bank and breaking down the doors to get into our account. But all of these banking viruses were going around, and I was talking to my husband because he knows a lot about computers. And I said, well, honey, if they went ahead and said there's a banking virus in all the banks because it has to do with some sort of system that all the banks use, whether, you know, depending on, it doesn't matter what the corporation is, they all use the same software. And let's say that a virus went in and the software was corrupted. And so that all the banks had to shut down, including their online banking, including their ATM for, like, let's say, an extended weekend. Meanwhile, while
I was just wondering, how can a bank operate if its software isn't corrupt?
But this would be the perfect excuse. People would say, oh, everything's great on Monday. And we'll be able to do our online banking. We'll be able to go to the ATM. But meanwhile, they're just deleting everybody's account. So when you go back on Monday, they could say something like, well, the virus was so corrupt and to such an extent that we don't know how much money was in your account. Because all it is numbers on a computer screen. They don't have any paper to prove how much money you had in your account. So they can't allocate money to an account that they're not sure how much money went in. Everybody would be wiped out. Now, when I wrote this article, I was going on a radio show the next day. They jumped my firewall, deleted this one article, didn't go into any of my files in my computer, didn't corrupt my computer at all, just deleted that one article. And I had to spend the entire night going back and finding my sources and writing it again. And then they sent a guy after me accusing me of plagiarism and threatening to sue me. Once this article went live. And
you've been accused of plagiarism so many times and you've never even done anything of the sort. And what I've also found very interesting is that you get accused of she's using other people's information in her articles. That's what a journalist is supposed to do, you retard.
I know. And they don't pay attention to the little area where it's blue and you can click on it. And go. That's called legal citation. That means that I gave credit to the place where I got the information. Yeah. There's exactly. So this guy who came after me, I had to get an attorney involved. As soon as I got the attorney involved, he went away. But the damage was already done. He wrote a fake DMCA notice of takedown to my hosting company, and they held my website hostage until I removed the content. Now, this article had gone all over the internet, which means all of my source links were dead on every reposting of that article. So you couldn't even check the sources because I had to remove the original article. So I wrote the article again. So that article was written three times. And I was determined to get the information out because so many people were trying to stop me from doing it.
Well, I think those are the times when you really need to get the information out, because if somebody's trying to stop you from doing it, it means that you should definitely get it out.
Absolutely. And there are so many people right now who are broke and homeless because of the foreclosures. And I don't cover foreclosures because it's so convoluted. A lot of it, even I don't understand. And I read articles. I have conversations with my friend all the time. I don't understand half of what she's saying. It really is so... It's like a spider web, and it goes right over my head. And I don't like writing about things I don't understand, because how am I going to translate it to the reader if I don't have a full grasp of what I'm saying? But when I saw this, and I saw how this whole thing came together with this House of Representatives, and he goes on this ski trip, and he hangs out with all these guys, Visa,
they're more, MasterCard. They're more like a louse of representatives.
Exactly. Absolutely. This is what they do. They go and they get together and the banks take them for a ski trip, and then they push and they come back on Monday with this proposal, and the entire committee approves it to become a bill. And this is for the banks. This destroys the legal right of everyone to bring the banks.
Hold on a second. Before you continue, can you name me a piece of legislation that hasn't been passed for the banks that gets rid of people's rights?
Oh, no, I can't. I can't. But for me personally, a lot of these pieces of legislation were written before I was born, and I was never in the middle of it. And this is at the beginning. Okay. They just concocted this. He went in April on this ski trip. And so now it's been passed in the House Financial Services Committee. So this is at the beginning of, this would be like catching the Federal Reserve Act right after Jekyll Island and exposing it before it even got to become something that the House of Representatives and the Senate would even vote on.
Well, I was having a conversation with my sister last night, and there's this GCSB, basically NSA Patriot Act being passed in New Zealand, and she says, oh, I'm going to the protest, I'm going to try and stop this. And I go, are they trying to pass it? And she's like, yes. Is it completely illegal? And she's like, yes. Then it's going to be passed.
Absolutely. And I think that this article, and hopefully other people write articles based on this article. I don't care if you at this point, this is so big, I wouldn't even care if people just copy and pasted it and put it out there. Hopefully motivate people, especially people in the foreclosures industry that are working to keep people in their homes. Lawyers and paralegals and homeowners need to know that this is going on right now, because it's at the way beginning stages. It's at the baby steps of the beginning stages. And if we can stop it now and shed as much light on it as possible, so it's so bright and so out in the open, and all of the corruption that came about to even create this proposal that would be that would become a bill, that would become a law, it would hopefully push them back into the shadows and just stop it. I mean, I know that they'll come up with something else, but this is a great opportunity right at the beginning stages to shine so much light on this that it would have to be stopped. And a lot of the people who are on the Senate committee, or I'm sorry, not the Senate, the House committee, have received money from these banks for campaign. So this is all the way around. This is bought and paid for and created by the banksters. And we're watching it right now as it's happening.
Apparently, in order to buy off the whole of Congress and the Senate, it only costs about $30 million a year. It's nothing.
Yeah, they don't care. You know, just get them a vacation home, get their wife an unlimited account to whatever she likes to shop at. It really doesn't cost much. Make sure they have a job at Monsanto when they leave. You know,
low cost budget corruption. You know, apparently it's cheaper by the dozen.
Absolutely. So the crux of this whole article, and it's important for the people who watch this broadcast and listen to this, please go and read the article as well and share the article as well, because the source information that I'm not talking about necessarily here, because we don't have, you know, 17 hours to talk today, is in that article. And it's important for lawyers and paralegals who are working, trying to keep people in their homes, to be aware of this information. But basically, in a nutshell, the threefold win for the technocrats with this path, this proposed bill that is going to go onto the House floor, would be, number one, future foreclosure litigation will be halted because of lack of legal standing for the homeowner. Number two, current foreclosure litigation would be halted because of lack of legal standing for the homeowner. And three, past litigation could be reopened and tried in court for the purpose of taking the property from the homeowner and possibly suing the homeowner for damages and interests incurred in the original suit.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I feel for the people of the United States, you know, at this very moment. And it's horrific, because you know for a fact that no matter how hard you or I put this information out there, they're still going to get away with it. And many innocent people will suffer in the interim while the information permeates. And while we're trying to give people the tools to defend themselves, there'll be those in the interim who are left completely defenseless.
Absolutely. And there are people right now who have caught this proposal and are writing about it, but they didn't make the connection with the Jeopardy Clause that I did, because my biggest concern was, can they go after the homeowners who have already won and take their property? Because you and I, if any, we know that they don't do something for one reason or even two reasons. It's got to have a multiple. It's got to have a huge bookshelf full of reasons to do it. Otherwise, it's not worth it to them. And the answer was yes. So these people who are sitting pretty in their house thinking they won, if this law passed, they're up for grabs. And how many, I mean, when I talked to my friend and I asked her how many people have been in foreclosure and how many people are going to be and what the percentage would be, if I were to take the map of the United States and color in a section of it from the West Coast going to the East Coast, how much of the country, what percentage, 2/3, 1/3, she said every single piece of property is being assumed that it was securitized and bundled up and sold on the stock market. And anything that the government doesn't already own will be owned by Bernanke after he's done with these mortgage-backed security buy-ups with this $85 billion a month, which he's slowing down. And I have to point out, most recently, Bernanke came out a couple of weeks ago and made some statements about the lending practices in the United States.
I've got the picture in my background now of a new movie that's coming out called Weekend at Bernanke's.
That's exactly what it looks like. Absolutely.
And so the U.S. economy is dead. He's propping it up, and he's trying to make out like it's still alive. It's dead, man. It's freaking dead. It's decaying right in front of your eyes, and people can't see it because you've got all the strings and pulleys and levers and stuff like that making it imitate life.
He was told by the Bank for International Settlements, all the central bankers were told this, that they had to liquidate their assets by 2019. And so Bernanke came out a couple of weeks ago and said that one of the weakness points in this whole problem is the mortgages. And we need to have the banks rein in their lending practices and maybe stop their lending practices for a while. And so I spoke to a friend of mine who's an attorney, and he's working in the foreclosures, and he's won some great cases, gotten Bank of America to just go away and setting precedent for other people to use his cases when they go to court. And I said to him, you know, I heard Bernanke make the statement, do you think they're going to stop lending money and just stop, giving people mortgages? And he said, no way, they would never do that. And then Bernanke came out with the statement, and I said, wait a minute. If they're saying that the mortgages are the problem, and the mortgages are the problem because they securitized, bundled them up, and created an entire global collapse in 2008. Absolutely, they're the problem. But it's not us that created the problem. They did. Now they're going and the banksters are putting out or trying to get legislation that would be passed that would take care of their problem with MERS and make it so that they can't get sued. And so they are able to siphon every piece of property, just like they securitized, back into their fold. And for people that I talk to who are going through foreclosures or in that whole problem, I always remind them, if they don't know about Agenda 21, that is what it's about. Because I've spoken to a lot of people and they say, well, the bank just wants my house. Well, why does the bank want your house? Well, they want to resell it. Then why are all these homes rotting and infested with rats and nobody's buying them and they're just sitting there decaying if they wanted to resell them? Folks need to go back to that map that was made in the 1970s by the professors whose name escapes me, where he showed huge amounts of the country where we would live in these mega cities, and there were huge amounts of areas that were allocated for non-human use. And the best way to do that is to get a hold of the property. Now, right now, the Federal Reserve owns a lot of land in the United States, and they just keep accumulating land. Every time he buys those mortgage-backed securities, everything that was bundled up in that little bundle that he gets every time he pays that money, he's getting more and more land up until he buys the entire United States. Then the Federal Reserve owns the United States.
As if it didn't already.
And the government is in bed with this too, because Freddie and Fannie are involved in this, and they're the mortgage companies that are owned by the government. So between the government and the Fed, all of our property is going to be owned And we know who owns our government. So it's owned by the central bankers.
Oh, goodness. You know, you just can't make this stuff up. And, you know, part of the frustrating thing is this information can actually save lives. And there's so many people out there who just call you crazy. You know, it's like, I'm trying to save your ass, mate. I'm trying to save your house. I'm trying to save your country. I'm trying to save the freaking world. And instead of helping me, you're trying to convince me through one way or another, through your stupidity or your inaction or your scumbaggery, to not try, to not bother. What's going through your head? I mean, how programmed are you?
Last night my husband and I were up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was so exhausted by going back and forth. And is there a law? Can they use the double jeopardy clause? Is it terminated? Because if that's the key, if they can go back and take the houses that they lost, they've already got the houses for the future. They'll stifle the people who are in litigation now, but if they can go back and get the houses that they lost, that's huge, at least to me. Because there's a lot of people sitting pretty thinking, oh, thank God I won. I beat them. And you can too. And yes, they did. They did. They won their house back. But the banks were not happy with that. And they're finding a way to get their house back. And absolutely. There's so many people who lost their jobs because they lost their homes. Mm. There are families who are torn apart. Divorces. People commit suicide. 300,000 people so far have committed suicide over this whole mortgage, losing their homes.
And you know what's interesting is the house. What's it called? Is it not the House Appropriations Committee? I think the House Oversight Committee have done precisely what their name would entail. They've just completely overlooked all of this.
Yes, because they're paid off. Go to opensecrets.org and see who contributed to their campaign. Who's contributing to their super PAC? Who's paying their bills? And you'll see the same names. Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, Credit Suisse, HSBC. Over and over and over again.
They should just call it HSBS.
Now, I mentioned Coke Industries and retailers and like Visa and MasterCard. They showed up at this meeting too. Now, where this gets really freaky is... Coke Industries is involved in petrol and shale.
Are you talking about are you talking about the Coke brothers?
Yes, I'm talking about the Coke brothers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who have gotten together to sue because they live in an area where fracking is going on, and they can literally turn on their faucet and set their tap water on fire with all the methane that's inside there. And they're getting cancer and they're dying. Their children are dying from mysterious diseases. So they're suing. This, if this were passed into law, they would have no legal standing. If you had an account with a credit card company like a MasterCard and Visa was there, and you had gotten money charged off, now Visa can come back and say, based on new evidence, based on this law, I'm going to sue you for that money back. Now, all of a sudden, we've got people in litigation and we can barely pay our bills. 101 million people right now are on food stamps. They can't pay their bills. They can't feed their families. They can't afford to be in litigation.
Aren't there more Americans now on food stamps than there are employed?
Yes. Yes. And I wrote that article 2 weeks ago and put it out, and people said, but I thought 47 million. Nope. The USDA did a study and they found 101 million people. And the farm bill that has just passed that Obama says he's going to veto. But, you know, he said he was going to veto the NDAA. Look how that went. They cut the money for food stamps and upped the subsidies for the wealthy farmers who own all of these farms. And so they're saying there's no money for food stamps. They're going to cut the amount of money, which means people are either going to get their benefits cut or their benefits are going to go away.
Yeah, so that all the money can go to Monsanto.
Exactly.
In fact, we're getting a banner made of the Moron Santo logo that I've got behind me there. And down the bottom, it's going to have cracked desert earth. And up the top, it's going to have copious quantities of chemtrails, you know,
absolutely,
out of a clear blue sky. And this is the problem, is I'm trying to reconcile my concern with the situation by taking action. And, you know, the problem is you feel guilty, like you feel like, oh, I'm taking action, I should feel better about it, but it's no, actually no, because there's still people out there suffering, there's still people out there committing suicide, there's still people out there being kicked at, literally being eaten out of house and home by these corrosive, acidic companies like Moron Santo, and there's no end to it, and I can't stop it, and the fact that I don't have the power to stop it weighs heavily on my mind.
I understand that. You know, you and I talked about the movie The Insider, and you told me to watch it again, and I did, and you told me that you identified without the Al Pacino character, and I understand that, too. If I were in his shoes, I would have outed CBS as well. At that point, who cares? The information is more important than saving a corporation and saving some interviewer, Mike Wallace, who the hell cares about your reputation? He complained about what you're going to be remembered at his age. He's concerned about that. As if at the last minute, you know, the gentleman who created the ADHD came out on his deathbed in his last interview, 87 years old, and admitted that it's fake. He had admitted that the pharmaceutical industry came to him and said, we have Ritalin. What are we going to do with it? He said, well, I'll make up a mental illness and then you can sell Ritalin. And that's what they did.
Yeah. They sell Ritalin and then they get rid of them. Get rid of
them. Yeah. So what do you want to be remembered as? At least this man owned up to it on his deathbed in his last interview.
I think it's already too fracking late. You know what I'm saying? And in fact, while that's to be commended and everything, it's a bit too frickin' late, isn't it? Because now everybody's been propagandized for their entire frickin' life. So if you sell yourself out, and it's only once you get old and you suddenly give a frack about all this evil stuff that you've done, and then you go, oh, I'm on my deathbed, I want forgiveness, therefore I'm gonna tell people about this evil stuff that I've done, and then guess what? You die and you can't go on any speaking tours or anything like that to correct the scumbaggery that you wrought. That's not good enough. Is it? You know?
No.
It's like Hitler, yeah. It's like Hitler on his deathbed saying, guys, I got very, very upset that I manipulated everybody and destroyed the entire freaking world and made all this nuclear shit and exterminated people in concentration camps and fluoridated the water and everything. I feel really bad about it. You killed millions of people, scumbag! Saying you're sorry doesn't quite cut it!
Well, now we have this grandiose opportunity with this information, and anybody who listens to this broadcast, share the broadcast with everyone. The article will be up on Occupy Corporatism. Share it with everyone. Everyone knows someone who is going through foreclosure right now or will be very soon. Mm-hmm. Share it with them so they can get it to their attorney so that we can stop this now, because we have this grand opportunity when they came up with this scheme that – a little bit of light is being shown on it, but everybody needs to know about it. Everybody's busy talking about Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin and all of this crap that's going on. Meanwhile, this kind of stuff is happening and nobody is paying attention.
Exactly. Suzanne Posel, OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com. Thank you so much for your time and your efforts.
Absolutely.
We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.